Okay, so welcome to the Real Estate Espresso podcast, your morning shot of what's new in the world of real estate investing. I'm your host, Victor Monash, and today we're in front of a live studio audience here at the Ottawa Real Estate Investors Organization. And we have a very special guest. We have none other than Rich Danby. Rich is a good friend, a real estate investor, very successful real estate investor. And Rich, I want to ask you a little bit of a personal question.
Okay.
Have you ever been stood up? Now, before you answer, I know you're married, so I know it didn't happen at the altar.
No.
The question is, have you ever been stood up literally at the signing table when you've been raising money? And if you have, tell us that story.
Yes, I have.
Yes, I have. Here's what happened. 5 days before I was supposed to close on a property, I thought I had the money lined up. The person said yes, they were in. And then I had my financing condition waived. I was ready to buy this property. And then the person, they got cold feet. They gave reasons why they couldn't do the deal. There was really nothing I could do about it, but it did put me in a situation where I had to scramble.
So what did you do? I mean, you're facing a deadline. Now, this is not the United States. In Canada, if you don't close on a deal, you get sued. In the States, you know, people shrug their shoulders, but in Canada, it's a big deal.
Yeah. Well, I spent the first hour crying with fear because it was the first time that it ever happened. And then I just said, let's get to it. What do we need to do to figure this out? So I just hit the phones. And the good news was it was a good deal. And I think that when you're raising capital for anything, you know, they often say that, you know, if you find a good deal, you'll find the money. I believe that to be true. And so I hit the phones. And within, I think it was maybe 2 hours, I had the money raised from somebody who I had never done a deal with before. So it ended up working out. And the cool part about it was this person ended up becoming a repeat investor. They had much more resources available than the person who was originally going to do the deal. So that created a new relationship that just helped me expand on my portfolio. So it ended up in the end being a good news story.
And is this something that happens often? I know you raise capital for a lot of your projects. You know, was that the only instance when it's happened, or has it happened more often?
No, that's the first time where it happened where there was something that was seriously on the line because there was, you know, there was fear around whether or not it was going to happen. In other cases, it's maybe money for a second mortgage or something like that. It's not as big of a deal because there's tons of money available for that sort of thing. But that really was the first time it happened. And I remember thinking to myself when it happened is, why is this happening to me?
Right.
What did I do to deserve this? And at the time, that was early on, and I hadn't quite developed the mindset to ask myself the question, why is this happening for me? So I had the fear around it failing. But in the end, I realized, always in hindsight, that this happened to me for a reason. It helped me to prepare better and realize that a yes doesn't always mean it's a yes. And you have to be prepared for what the outcome of that might be.
You know, it's interesting because this is something that's actually happened to me as well. In fact, in the last three capital raises, every single one, we've had a situation where a funding partner did not come through. The most surprising one was a lady. We'll call her Joan, because that's her name. That is her name, yes. And she had signed the offering memorandum. She had signed the convertible note. Everything was signed, sealed, and delivered in DocuSign. And then silence. And we sent emails, we made phone calls, and a couple of weeks later, finally got in touch and heard, well, my lawyer kind of talked me out of it. And we're thinking, you didn't even call? Like, really? But that's what happened.
I have a question for you. Did you cry?
No. In that particular instance, the project was fully funded out of equity. So we knew that we had an out. We knew that if we needed additional funds, maybe it was a cost, if there happened to be a cost overrun or if we were short on the capital raise, we could always go secure a small amount of debt. But it was surprising that it happened in that way, that, you know, literally the investor just went quiet. I've never seen that before. But it actually has happened in every single of the last three capital raises. We've had about 10% fallout for one reason or another. We've simply made the decision we're going to raise more than we need. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes it's legitimate. You know, for example, on the last raise that we did back in January, we had an orthopedic surgeon who said, you know what, I know this is on a timeline. I've got 4 days of surgery. If you're waiting on me, I'm going to slow you down. Catch me on the next one. And we said, okay, No problem. You know, we were oversubscribed, so it wasn't an issue, but it's actually almost a regular occurrence.
So what happens in a situation like that where you're saying that you're raising more capital than you need? What happens when you have that extra capital? What do you say to the people when you're not able to use their capital? Is there not a risk that you may offend them?
It's a good question. And what we did in that particular instance, we had a choice. We were doing a $2.2 million raise, and we actually had $4 million worth of offers at that point. So that was a good problem to have, but it was also a real problem because, like you said, you don't want to offend any of your funding partners.
Sure.
So what we did is we actually went back to everybody and said, you know, we are oversubscribed. Would you be willing to come in for less to make room for other people to participate? And a lot of people said yes. A lot of people cut their investment in half. One person said, you know, I've been sitting on this money waiting for this project. It's been sitting in my account for 2 months. I'd really like to put in the whole thing. We said, okay, no problem. Put in the whole thing. So you just got to work with it and make sure that you don't offend anybody. And, you know, other folks that came in too late, we said, sorry, you're too late. And they said, damn. But we said, okay, you're too late. I mean, it just is what it is. It's not that they did anything wrong or we did anything wrong. It just happened to be oversubscribed, which, you know, I guess is a good problem.
So one of the things I heard you say that with some of the people, in order to get more people in, you cut down the amount of money that they could invest, right?
Yeah, we did cut down the amount of money invested. And that sounds a little bit counterintuitive because you might be thinking, why would you want more investors? It sounds like more management headache and it sounds like more of a hassle. But in this particular instance, we knew that there was going to be a second phase to the project. So we figured if we had more investors who had resources at their disposal, who were involved in the project, they might be amenable to participating on a larger scale in subsequent phases of the project. So we were thinking a couple of moves ahead towards the next phases. That was the thinking behind
that. That's a great strategy. One of the things, if you're in a situation where you're trying to raise capital, the best time to raise capital is before you need it. One of the things I commonly hear from people is that they're planning on buying a property and maybe another property, and that's when they're going to go out and start trying to raise capital. I think that's a backward strategy because you should be raising the capital while you still have Plan B available, because eventually you're not going to have that money and then you won't have an option. You won't have a choice. You're either going to raise the capital or you're not.
One of the things that I often see when you're doing a capital raise for a project is this whole question of how big a window in time should you focus the capital raise? Should you try and raise the money over 90 days, 120 days, a week? Like, how long should that window be open? And what I've discovered is that if you go too long, people don't actually take any action. They think they can wait, so they don't take action, and then it drags on. If you try and do it in too much of a hurry, you appear desperate. And desperation is never attractive. It's just like in dating. You don't want to appear desperate because if you appear desperate, people, you know, step back and they say, well, what's wrong with this? Why are they desperate? That doesn't make sense. So you want to find that right balance. And what I found is that typically somewhere between 2 weeks and a month is about the right time frame. And 2 weeks sounds like the short end of the scale, and it is. But something in about between 2 weeks and a month seems to be about the right amount of time to do a capital raise, assuming you have the relationships in place where you can, in fact, get it done. If you're trying to relationship build while you're trying to raise the money, man, oh, man, that's hard.
Right.
Because relationship building occurs on a time scale that is much longer than a capital raise.
Definitely when you're wanting to queue something up, you want to have those conversations well in advance. And also, when it comes to waiving conditions, sometimes there's that temptation where you feel like you have somebody who's on the fence about making that decision and you feel like it's going to be a yes. That's when you definitely don't want to run that risk of waiving that financing condition unless you absolutely have certainty that you'll be able to figure it out.
You know, one of the things that you can do is you can put structures in place so that you have a plan B and a plan C. And it may not necessarily be another equity investor. It could be some secondary financing, maybe what's called in the industry jargon mezzanine money, more expensive money. So let's say, for example, that your conventional debt might be up to, say, 70% loan to value of the project, and you're hoping the remaining 30% is going to be equity. If you're short on that 30%, maybe you go get another 10% in mezzanine money, get yourself up to 80%, and then do 20% equity. Now, that 10% is going to be much more expensive money, but at least you're going to get the project done and you'll have the opportunity to pull out the mezzanine money down the road and replace it with equity or maybe some cheaper money.
Now, one of the questions that you might be asking yourself when the money isn't coming through is, was it your fault? Was it maybe something that you did? What are some things you would recommend that people do in order to ensure that they're not the problem?
Well, first of all, buy my book. because it's all kind of laid out there. I mean, really, if you're having trouble raising money, what I discovered, and it's the main reason I wrote the book, and I'm not saying this to plug my book, but I wrote the book when I recognized that there were really five principles. And if you meet all five of those principles, raising money is remarkably easy. And when one or more of those are missing, a capital raise becomes really, really hard. And it doesn't matter whether you're talking about real estate or starting a tech company or anything like that. It comes down to those five principles. Now, there's one additional factor that I didn't write about in the book, is you got to be looking in the right place. You know, if you're looking for tuna in a freshwater pond, you're not going to find it. So you have to be looking in the right place. But assuming you are, you know, you have to have relationship. You know, it really comes down to that. People don't part with hundreds of thousands or millions of their hard-earned life savings if they don't have a relationship with you. You got to establish the trust with all the psychological layers of that trust. And I can talk about these five elements for an hour if you want, but we don't have that much time. So number two is trust. Number three, you got to have a track record. If you don't have that track record, you got to maybe align yourself with folks who do so that they're part of your team. Number four, you got to have a compelling opportunity. And number five, your goals have to align with the goals for the money. And if you don't match on all five of those, you're not going to get the money. But if you are mindful of that, it's actually pretty straightforward. It's almost paint by numbers. You can go down the list and you can filter out and say, you know what, this investor is not a fit for them. You know, they haven't invested in real estate before. They've only done mutual funds. It's not a fit. It doesn't mean it might not be a fit down the road, but for where they are right now, it's not a fit. So that's really what it comes down to.
And also, you really, I know a lot of people are trying to raise capital and they don't really have the strategy. So they enter into conversations and they say, I'm investing in real estate. And do you want to be a partner? Do you want to do something with me? Well, if you're going to try to raise capital for something, it really has to be clear as to what it is that your value proposition is. What are you trying to do? What is it that you're going to do to benefit them? Because that's really what they want to hear, is they want to hear what's in it for me. So when it comes to trying to raise capital, a good place to go for it is to practice on people within your inner circle. You could ask friends and family members to sit down, share with them what you're trying to accomplish, and you never know, those people could end up becoming partners because they're impressed with your strategy. That in itself is a strategy. And if beyond that, if you wanted to sit down with an expert who's very good at raising capital, Victor and I are also consultants, and we'd be willing to help you individually or collectively. Is that okay? Can we do that?
Yeah.
help you with whatever it is you're trying to accomplish.
Well, and I will point out, I know there are a handful of folks in the room that are actual professional lenders, and I won't put you on the spot, but if you're comfortable putting up your hand, and here's, I'll put the context out here. If you're comfortable putting up your hand simply to have someone to pitch a deal to you and get feedback, I know there's a few people that do this professionally. Put up your hand. Okay, so we have two over here at this end of the room. And over here in the center. So, you know, seek these people out. They will give you honest feedback. They're experienced lenders, they're experienced investors, and they will help you just by giving you feedback and saying, you know, what you're saying to me is working or it's not working, and this is an issue over here. You'll get good quality feedback. So, you know, we've got a lot of resources in the room. Take advantage of it.
Well, one thing just to add to that, as you saw that some mortgage brokers putting their hands up, those are excellent resources for you to talk to when it comes to raising capital, because if you're looking for funding for a flip, first mortgage, second mortgage money, private money, these are the people who have access to, because if people have a lot of money and they want to place it in mortgages, where are they going to turn? They're going to go to mortgage brokers. So often they have connections and they're really just waiting and looking for those opportunities. And there's a lot more people looking for passive opportunities than there are active opportunities available. Am I right?
Okay. Well, with that, as you're thinking about raising money and making sure that you've got enough for your projects, have an awesome day. And we'll talk to you again on the Real Estate Espresso podcast tomorrow.